Esther chapter 3, we'll start there. But I want you to also find the book of Acts chapter 28 for a moment. I want you to see something here. Many of you know the story of Paul, that he appealed unto Caesar, that he said, I'm not going to be left to the hands of the Jews to determine my fate. So unto Caesar he went. There was a long journey to get there. He suffered shipwreck. You name it happened. But now he's going to be lodged in Rome. But he had liberty that while he was in bonds, that his friends were allowed to come to him. How many of us, the Lord will always help you, even in the midst of a storm? Amen? But I want you to look especially here to Acts 28, verse 23. And I really want us all to really be able to testify to this. That when he was appointed, his friends could come. But notice it says here, that he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Notice that he took the Old Testament and he expounded on it. One of the things as believers we need to strive for is to find Christ in the Old Testament as well as in the prophets. Notice the maturity that is. If we can do that, we can bring a whole lot more converts in the kingdom. Come on. How many of us, he expounded on those things. So when you're going through the Old Testament and you find a scripture about Christ, make a note of that. He's throughout the whole Bible. I said he's throughout the whole Bible. Come on, you can even look in the book of Isaiah. It talked about he was being pierced, wounded for our transgressions. I mean, all those are about Jesus. It'll also give us a way to minister to those that are of different religions. Say amen. You can expound the Christ. So let's make a note of that. It shows maturity. It also shows that we know our book. We can't get to heaven and not know this word. Because we don't have an excuse. Oh, that'll preach. How many of those, God made sure you got a copy of it. And if you don't have a copy of it, there's probably one in front of you. Don't just steal the Bible, but let me know if you need it. Amen? Well, I stole this from the church. Amen? Thou shalt not. But hey, we'll work on that. Amen? How many found the book of Esther? Now, I started this message a couple weeks ago. Last week, the Lord blew it up. Say amen? I mean, is it right? He spoke through several ways to minister his grace. I'm going to recap real quick. To be fit for the master's service, there needs to be some beauty treatments done. We come from the world raw. Would you agree? We don't know how far we've fallen until we start to come back in restoration. All of us need to be restored because all have sinned. But there are certain things that some of us struggle with more than others. And there are certain things others struggle more than some. But the truth is that God will give us the victory. I haven't met a perfect person yet. I haven't met a perfect pastor yet. Say amen. And it's amazing how quick we can be judgmental on the same thing God set us free from. I've learned that, listen, if you've been forgiven of much, you love much. Say amen. I mean, that's a reality. And the enemy's pretty good at finding mouthpieces to speak through. Let us never be the mouthpiece of the enemy. Many of you know when Jesus rebuked Peter, and he was a beloved disciple, he said, "Get behind me, Satan." What if Jesus said that in Sunday morning service? Say amen. It also shows that, hey, there was enough character in Peter not to get all torqued out of shape and I'm not following him anymore. Oh, I can preach that. I've shared this for the last month. This is not kindergarten in here. We're mature men and women of God. Say amen. If somebody doesn't reach out to you, you reach out to somebody else. Don't wait. Now, I hope somebody reaches out to you, but that shouldn't be the reason. Well, nobody loves me there. Then you be the loving one. Scripture says you want to make friends, show yourself friendly. Oh, thank you, Lord. In the last 2 weeks I mentioned oil needs to be provided, sown into us. We're stiff. We need to have perfume, as it were, worked in us because we smell of the world. We need to have time begin to work those things out. I mentioned in the last few weeks that resources, the world cannot accomplish what the kingdom of God is all about. I mentioned in the last 2 weeks we need to deal with our inadequacies. We all have them. And then walk in the favor of God. But once you're fit, once you're getting in that area, there's a task at hand. I said there's a task at hand. The Lord still has us here. If all there was is get saved and He took you up to heaven, that'd be a different subject. But while we're here, we must occupy. God allowed us to live during this time in life. He wanted you here during this time. That means we can accomplish what the Lord wants today. That's good news. But it's going to take all of us. Many times when we run out, we start to rush and do things, especially when it comes to young ministers. They have a lot of zeal, but not much knowledge. Not much character in that area. So the zeal will propel you to go out and take great steps of faith. But when character needs to set in, if it's not there, temptation comes. Say amen. And many times, many fall away. Well, we need to have strong, stable people in ministry. In your prayer time, I need you to be praying for a whole new generation of young men and women to rise up. If the Lord should tarry, we need another generation that calls Him blessed. When I was a youth pastor a few years back, it's getting to be many years back now, a few years back, I always had, I'm not kidding you, 10 or 15 students that were called into the ministry. I mean, is the Lord still calling today? But it's not encouraged. It's not something you go after. How many knows that the Lord's still calling today? In Esther chapter 3, tell me when you got it. And starting with verse 8, there's a task at hand. Haman talked to the king and said, there are certain people who are scattered abroad, dispensed among the people in the kingdom. Notice it says here, they need to keep the king's laws. Verse 9, if it pleases the king, let there be a way that they'll become destroyed. Listen to me, the enemy of our soul is still at work today. Haman's going to come before the king and says, you know what, king? There are certain people. Notice he doesn't call them out. Say amen. Amen. Listen to me. The enemy will always try to say, well, this is what they said. Or put a name on it. Say amen. And when it comes to a prophetic move, let me speak this to you. If somebody prophesies and misses it, they must own up to it and say, I missed it. That's still okay. But if we try to justify a prophetic word that's off, we're enabling the flesh to operate. Say amen. How many of us can be men and women? All of us could miss it at some time. Say amen. Even when Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel, they all dealt with false prophets. And sometimes they would speak a word like this. They were prophesying, you're not going to go into Babylon. You're not going to go into Babylon. And the prophet said, you better camp out. You're going to be there for 70 years. He says, because they operate in a lying spirit. Oh, that's big time stuff. Notice verse 9. If it pleases the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. When you get to verse 10, Haman said this, at the last part, he's an enemy of the Jews. When it comes to Haman, he puts out a decree and says, oh, king, there are people that are not following your laws. It's amazing to me that even those in power are so influenced by those that are around him. There's been times that the individual may be great in the natural, but he may have a whole bunch of people speaking lies to him. Come on. Satan still hates the church today. He still hates the believer. And he's going to try every way and say, you know what? In the laws, we want to make sure that we can destroy. King, they don't respect you. King, they don't do this for you. No different today. We have to look and say, hey, Lord Jesus, you have a way. Amen? Our task this is still to reach a world. Would you agree to that? Would you agree that we still need to go and reach a world? Your world and my world, we live in the same planet, but your influence level and mine, there are times that it's different. You have different friends, you have different families, but we can still reach. The enemy of our soul does not want us. He still wants to destroy us. And if you look at verse 10, it said that Haman was a Jewish hater. Even today, there are still people who hate the Jews. And some don't even have a reason. They just hate. The Bible says, I'll prosper those who love thee. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I mean, God still has a plan there. And he started it over there. He's going to complete it over there. Hallelujah! I mean, he's going to bring it around. By the Jews forsaking Christ, the Gentiles were ushered in. And all through Paul's ministry, he always agonized. He wanted more than ever that his countrymen to be saved. And many times they wouldn't listen. They became hard-hearted. He said, then God's going after the Gentiles and they will hear. If the forsaking of the Jews brought the Gentiles into the kingdom, what will be if the Jews embrace Christ? The Bible says it's like life from the dead. Hallelujah. And I read in Revelation that 144,000 Jewish people, not Jehovah Witnesses. Are you hearing me? They're Jews. Out of the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, the records got destroyed during Babylon's time. A lot of the people that had a lineage, they couldn't trace it anymore. There are many people that were disqualified from becoming priests because they couldn't find out where they were born. But how many of those God still knows where the 12 tribes are? Hallelujah. And can you imagine 144 spirit-filled, Holy Ghost, tongue-talking, devil-stomping, born-again believers evangelizing a world? That's going to make a difference. See, God is good. When you get to chapter 4, I got to go through this quickly here. Mordecai learns what Haman's going to do. In chapter 4, verse 1, when Mordecai perceived all that's done, he rent his clothes, he was sat in sackcloth and ashes, and he cried with a bitter cry. He came towards the king's gate. More than ever, there are times that we need to cry out to our God. There needs to be times where we just have fasting and prayer. The Bible says what you do in secret, God rewards openly. I don't want anyone to go to hell. There are still people who hate the church. There are still people who hate the Jews. There are still people that want to destroy our lives. We need to be speaking that area. Say amen. Come on. Notice he has a bitter cry. And he's doing it at the king's gate. We also need to approach the throne. We need to begin to speak. Sometimes there needs to be wailing. Sometimes a tear may come to your eyes. When I think about eternity, I don't want anyone to go there. Not one person. Even if they don't like me, I don't want them to go there. It's such a permanent. But what I look at this portion of Scripture is God will always tip off His servants what He's going to do. I mean, as we need to hear, Lord, what do you want to do? He will always speak a word. Mordecai hears. And you know what? He instantly puts it in action. Sometimes when God speaks a word in your spirit, you've got to respond to it. Sometimes we want the multitudes to do everything. No, you do it first. You spend that time in prayer. You spend that time in agony. And God will make sure it's heard. Say amen. When you get to chapter 4, verses 12 through 14, the words are told to Esther. Mordecai makes sure Esther, now she's the queen. Queen, listen to me. In verse 13, it says this, and Mordecai commanded an answer and said this, Esther, think not with thyself, you shall escape in the king's house more than the Jews. I know that, Esther, you're a Jewish. I know that you belong to the king, but don't think that you can escape either. We have to look today, either you're going to be in hell or going to be in heaven. There is no escape either way. There is no middle chance or purgatory that you're going to be prayed out of or bought out of. It's a permanent place. Jesus said that the fire is never quenched. When I think of that, talk about awful. Come on. That it was designed for Satan and his horde. Now, Mordecai speaks a word, make sure Esther heard. Send a word to Esther that even though you're queen, that you'll be spared. Sometimes people think just because they have status that they're going to get away with it. The Lord spoke a word to me a while ago. There are sometimes it's double-handed. That we don't want this, and yet they'll keep you from it, but walk in the blessing of it. Or they get something better than you because they're in that position and you'll get less. The Lord knows how to keep people and also catch them in their own folly. He knows how to do all that stuff, amen? So no one escapes. That's a good thing to know. Well, I can walk with peace in that. When people think they're pulling it over your eyes, you're not kidding the Lord. Say amen. When I look at these verses here from 12 to 14, Mordecai is going to persuade Esther for help. And she must accept it. Remember now, dealing with our getting ready, that we have to deal with our inadequacies. Back in those days, if the queen approached the king without him raising a scepter or calling her in, she could be put to death. So she has to look at it now. I have to come before the king, but I haven't been asked. And this is so crucial today in her day that how am I going to do it? Let me ask you this. What if your life depended on you getting the message out? Would you still do it or would you cower down in fear? Would you kind of hope that it would work out or would you be mindful of it, say, you know what, I got to go before the king even if it costs me my life? I don't know how much our freedoms will be eroded, but what if they told you, don't go to Lighthouse anymore, your life's over. Would we heed to the threats, or would we say, you know what, whether they take my life or not, I'm still assembling with my God. Come on, notice Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to go through that. Daniel had to go through that. All the people that served the Lord had to face mortality. And it's amazing sometimes we're so looking to preserve flesh that it keeps us from taking that step. Oh, that's a good word today. Oh, thank you, Pastor. Amen. What if your life depended on it? She now is struggling with this. But what I love about the Lord is that deliverance can come. And it's not only Esther. If Esther did not do it, God's still able to bring it another way. I mean, that's comforting too. I mean, is God still God? I say God is still God. In verse 14, Esther 4:14, look at this. It says this, "For even if thou hold your peace at this time, there shall be an enlargement, and deliverance shall arise to the Jews from another place." God will always have another way, but He wants to use us. Today He wants to use us. I don't want another generation to walk around the mountain. When they came out of Egypt, God wanted to use that generation. We can't do it. There's giants in the land. We're like grasshoppers. Then all of a sudden they decided, hey, after the fact, when they knew they blew it, okay, we're going to go out there and do it. They tried to do the battle in their own strength. They got miserably beat. You can't do it in your own strength. When the Lord says, go, go. Now we need to cry out to our God. Say amen. In verse 14, I want you to look at this. Look at the end of that verse. For such a time as this, intercession needs to be made now. Say now. We can't wait for another time, another generation. For such as a time as this. Today more than ever, we are living in a day where the world could care less about your faith and who you are in Christ. And the church needs to arise. Amen? You want to change election? Change people's hearts. It just gives me an indicator of what's really going on in this country. Come on. But can God still save? Yes or no? Then more revival in the land. Who's crying at the gate? The decree is already out there. The enemy wants you gone. He's coming to steal, he's coming to kill, and he's coming to destroy. Since you've been linked with Christ, you become hated too. Hallelujah. But there are still people in high places that God's able to get a word to. Say amen. He raises up and he puts down. And ultimately, we have the King of Kings on our side. This morning in prayer, the Lord just reminded me, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. And who can say to me, what do you do, Lord? Hallelujah. And then he reminded me of this, that we are but flesh to the Almighty God. And what can flesh say to him? Hallelujah. How many of us, we're still on the winning side. We haven't lost a thing. We haven't lost nothing. That God said, if I'm before you, who can be against you? But intercession needs to be made. When you get to chapter 4, verses 15 through 17, it says this, verse 16, go gather all the Jews, present it to you, saying, fast for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days and nights. My maidens also will do the same. Notice that they're going to shift into intercession, but also fasting and prayer. If you don't see something open up, fast and pray about that situation. Amen? Come on. I mean, that it unlocks things. And it isn't like this, oh, Pastor, I'm fasting for 3 days. Barely have the strength to make it. Oh, don't know if we can handle it. It's been a rough time, Pastor, telling you. Hard to pray. No, don't do that. Come in, make sure you've showered. Don't let people know. Now, if somebody knows because you missed a dinner or something, that's different. But don't do it publicly. Say amen. What you do in secret, the Lord will reward you. At this point, there's a corporate thing. And that's something that we can broadcast. There needs to be corporate prayer. In the next 2 months here, I'm believing for a harvest of souls to come in. That there will be certain times I'm going to call this church to fast and pray. If you've been around Pentecost long enough, there's been times where altars were filled with people crying out to know Him. That needs to return. We need new converts. That's why there needs to be seasoned saints in the house and new converts. That keeps the church from becoming stagnant. You need both areas. Well, that needs to happen when the word is preached. Hearts are open. They respond to those things. Come on. For Esther, it's going to be fast, pray, and go. Fast, pray, and go. When you get to verse 16, chapter 4, and they gathered all the Jews in Shushan, fast for me. I won't eat, I won't drink, my maids will do also. And look at the end of this verse. And if I perish, I perish. She said, I'm not invited before the king, but I'm going to go. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said this, the Lord's able to deliver us, but if he don't, it don't matter. I like that faith. I believe he can. If he doesn't, still, that's still fine. She said, listen to me, if I go before the king and he doesn't raise his scepter and I die, then I die. Come on, self-preservation is so much among us today. It keeps us from stepping out in faith. Now, I don't have a death wish, but if the Lord wants us to do something, then we have to say, Lord, so be it. How many of there are still modern-day martyrs today? There are still people losing their life for their faith. Denounce Christ or die. That's one of the things the Apostle Paul struggled with in his life when he got his life right. He testified that many times I made the Christians blaspheme. I was there. I persecuted them to that level. But I did it in ignorance. I thought I was doing God a service. Then I met Christ. Then he began to preach that which he persecuted. How many is God still able? Hallelujah. When somebody takes this step and this stance, it, believe me, it speaks to a world. I said it speaks to the world. More than ever, she's saying, if I have to perish, I'll perish. Listen to me. If you have to give your life for Christ, God will reward you. But I guarantee it'll never be in vain. There'll be more people to follow after you. Persecution never hurt the church. It just scattered them. I'm still coming to church, even if they tell me I can't. I'm still coming. Okay? And they're not going to tell me. I know this is recorded. It's going live. You're not going to tell me what I'm going to preach either. I'm not going to do it. I'll speak what God wants me to speak. I have great resolve in this area. I'm not trying to be forceful. I'm not trying to be prideful. It's just the truth. For Esther, she must arise and meet the king. When you get into chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, she's going to stand in the outer court. And she's saying in her heart in verse 2, if I've attained favor in his sight, and then the king, listen to me, holds out that golden scepter, and Esther drew near. She's like over on the side, and she's just waiting there. Man, will the king do this? I know sometimes it's a hard place. It's a nervous place. Even though we know God's with us, I have to believe if there's a fiery furnace and you saw all the guards die in front of it, you'd be like, ooh, baby. Don't tell me all of a sudden like, oh, no problem. Come on, we still have flesh. No matter how much you're walking in the Spirit, you feel the heat. You've already saw people get cooked. Oh, nobody here. You're all run right in there. Yeah, let me have that. Let me add another layer to it. You're bound, and you have no choice. I mean, sometimes it's nice to have a little freedom when you have no choice. They threw them in bound. Yet they said, if we die, we die. And yet God came through. Notice now her faith is on that area. We must arise and meet the king. I said we must arise and meet the king. The prince of this world, Satan, does not want you to win. He doesn't want you to succeed. He's going to do everything he can to destroy your life. But Jesus has come that you might have life. Hallelujah. That when he went to the cross, he spoiled principalities and powers. I want us now to start to realize. Scripture says one day we will look on Satan and do this. Wow. Is this the one that made nations tremble? The Bible says you will narrowly look upon. When you see how great God is. We need to keep it in perspective. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is the spirit that works in those who are disobedient. But I got Christ in me. Hallelujah. I got Christ in me, the hope of glory. Remember now, all the character that Esther walked in now is going to come alive. Everything she went through is for a time as this. God knows how to prepare us, church. All the experiences that you've already been through, all the heartache, all the struggle, as well as the victory, has prepared you for a time like today. We must arise. She's off in the shadow. She's on the side, but she's waiting for the king. Well, if I die, I die, but here I am. And notice that the king saw her. The king will always see the bride. Hallelujah. The king will always see the queen. No matter what he has to deal with, he will come say, come on in. How many of us, we can boldly approach the throne of grace and find help. We have to arise to higher ground. Her attitude was one, I'm going to walk humble. Listen, if he doesn't raise the scepter and my life is over, then I've done what I can. Listen to me, even in great effort, you already heard that, listen to me, whether it came through Esther or not, God was able to bring a deliverance. But this is the choice he wants to make. So he's going to go that route. We have to look today and say, God, I don't want to be what you want me to be. But I'm going to make sure I get with the king. Too long we've endeavored to try to do it on our own effort without rising to meet him. Say amen. How many of those God will give us favor? He raises the scepter in verse 8 in chapter 5. If I found favor in thy sight, O king, if it please the king, grant my petition. She's going to come before the king and say, listen to me, all the training, all the walking in favor, I have something of you, O king. To jump ahead, he's going to have a little banquet. Esther's going to say, hey, king, I need you to bring Haman, and I want to make a dinner for both of you. How many of us, God will make us strategic in the way we handle it appropriately? Esther is going to bring the accuser before the king. How many knows that it's not my power that makes Satan tremble? by saying dirty, rotten Satan doesn't make him bow. But in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I can bring my accuser before the king and he can deal with it. The Lord rebuke thee. Oh, I can preach down those roads. Come on. She's going to make a dinner. And all of a sudden, Haman's going to be like, I must be special. The queen wants to do something great for me. The whole time knowing that all of a sudden she's going to speak the truth. That this guy wants to destroy. King, if you love me and you care for me, Haman has desired to destroy myself and my people. Come on. We have to get it before the king. I said we have to get it before the king because his word is the word of a king. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 4. When the word of the king is, there is power. I said where the word of the king is, there is power. God will deal with his enemies. He'll crush Satan shortly. We have to walk in and do our portion. Is the church fasting and praying? Are we about God's power? Anything that's an enemy of the cross, are we stepping out in those things? Now, Haman made gallows to hang all the Jews upon. God will turn what's been evil for you upon the enemy. If you follow the story of Esther, what he made to kill Mordecai on than the Jews, he was hung upon it. Notice God's able to turn it 100%. It all predicated Esther, you must do your portion. If we do our portion, God will make sure our enemies are splattered. If God arise, let our enemies be scattered. No, if God arise, let our enemies be splattered. Hallelujah! He's able to do such. And notice, when you get to Esther chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, God restores the land. He will also restore the land. Amen. He's a God that can do it. Amen. The kingdoms of our Lord become the kingdoms of our Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. And people don't like to hear this, but here's the truth. One day he's going to reign with an iron rule. It's his way. Hallelujah. And he has the character to back it up. For Esther, she had the scepter raised. Now she has her request to the king. And the king will always side with the queen in right relationship. God will side with you concerning those things. Even if there's a decree in the land that your life should be over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Whatever you lay your hand to do, that will succeed, says the Lord. All the training that you went for is now for the task at hand. If Esther didn't walk in character, she said, well, I'm not going before the king. That's too risky. Say amen. I wonder how many countless lives have ended up in hell because the church didn't do what it's supposed to do. We were supposed to go and reach a world, but yet we just sat on our good-for-nothings. Is that too straight up? Come on, we need to be about our Father's business. I don't want another generation to go by before he returns. I want to be about our Father's business. Hallelujah. And to me, the only divine delay right now is only to allow more people to get saved. Because he could come right now. His heart is so after people. We need to be after that too. Amen? I don't believe the report of the world. I believe the report of the Lord. That our God is able. He is able to do more than we can ask or think. I'm calling this church to begin to fast and pray for the lost. For the ministries that are reaching out. Begin to call out to your God. Begin to raise up that godly heritage. Hallelujah. And also, don't be so self-consumed about preserving yourself. God will take care of you. Amen? It's going to be fun to talk to Esther one day. How many would like just to sit down and have the full account there? Say amen. I look forward to sitting down with Moses. I kind of hope there's a panoramic screen that'll pop up when he's talking. Amen? Wouldn't that be fun? Movie night with Moses. But I can't say that's going to happen. But the truth is, I'd like to see the Red Sea part. Wouldn't that be cool? But that's my opinion. I can visualize it in my mind. My imagination can go there. But what's it like to live for God in this day and age? All the saints that have went on before us are cheering us on now. that great cloud of witnesses that are coming at us are cheering us on now. Let's be about our Father's business. You enjoy this morning?
Yeah.
How many want to be used by the Lord in these days? Let me see your hand. If you would, stand to your feet. Father, we declare, Lord, as a church, here we are. And Lord Jesus, we don't want to let fear or a pronouncement of that our life will be over if we take a stand. But God, we declare, here we are. Use us. Lord, like Esther said, if I perish, I perish, Lord. But you want a deliverance to come through. So God, use us to bring deliverance to a world. That we have an enemy of our soul that still hates our guts. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Lord, empower your people. Lord, let us look at all the training we've went through, all the things we went through. Lord, as really a preamble, a starting ground for what you want to do in us and through us. So Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, great strength to be upon, boldness. Lord, we come against inadequacies. Lord, the fear of the unknown, we come against it now. And Lord, we walk in that strength. And Lord, you're calling us to fast and pray over a nation. Lord, let us be obedient to you. Lord, not showing off, but humbly praying and seeking your face. Now go with your people in strength and power and bring us back in that appointed day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for your time this morning. God bless you. Have a great week. We will see you soon.